Paul and Jordana, DJ Dave Josephson, our producer today, as he is every day.
Do you fancy yourself an explorer, my friend?
An explorer?
Do you?
Some days a weather explorer.
Maybe.
But
a pioneer venturing into the unknown?
Not really.
Not so much. You'd rather stay home and watch Netflix.
I'm a bewildered spectator. Yeah. My idea of exploration is finding the nearest Burger King.
Well, that's why we really appreciate our next guest.
Will Steger, a man who needs no introduction, who is one of my heroes, one of my mentors. I know a lot of people look up to Will Steger. Mm-hmm. The arc of your career. Will, it's always good to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul.
What have you been up to lately?
Well, I just came back from Japan. We hit our 30th anniversary of our crossing of Antarctica. It was a 3,700-mile expedition back in 89-90.
How did you do that? It took, 7 months?
It took 7 months. We had three dog teams, 30 dogs, six people from six different countries, and we went from ocean to ocean, so it was a really tough trip. Our purpose behind it, though, in 1990, the Antarctic Treaty was up for review, and the treaty was going to be opened up for exploration for minerals. And this was agreed behind closed doors of the treaty nations. So we decided to do this long expedition to draw the world's attention to the treaty and the review, the need that we really needed the science to go towards climate and glaciology rather than the commercial interest. And we did this expedition, and afterwards we met with world leaders, and we were actually able to turn that around. And in 1991, it was for the next 50 years, and it was set aside from mining, no mining, and I don't think it'll be open in the future for that either.
So this was an example where the countries banded together.
International cooperation.
Hands-off Antarctica.
Hands-off Antarctica. The original treaty was signed in 1960 during the Cold War, and there it was set aside for science, international cooperation, no military, no nuclear, but they didn't have a mining minerals clause at that time. But it was an example of international cooperation. This was still the Cold War. We had a member from the Soviet Union, from China, so we had different countries on board. We had full support from the Soviet Union, actually, at that time.
Did you suffer frostbite?
Not much. So they always freeze your face because it's kind of hard to keep that from happening, but that's just cosmetic. But I've never.
You look great, though. I mean, it's kept you young.
It does. I think it's good for your face. It's like a bad sunburn without the sun. Your skin kind of peels off, and it's really smooth underneath. So I think cosmetically, I think they have a procedure of freezing skin like that to make you look a little better.
God, that's pretty.
I don't
that's
know if
pretty
it's more
rough.
Expensive or cheaper than do it the expedition way, or just go get the laser peel at the at the dermatologist. Will, of course, I was going to ask you. Paul asked you, how did you do it? Why? But you answered that, of course, to avoid the mining. How did you go about planning an expedition like this? Clearly, no one had done it before. How did you know what you were going to need and how you were going to stay safe?
It was a diplomatic feat because we had to make a connection with the Soviet Union and China, which we got, and we got their support. We had to raise a considerable amount of money, and the economics were good at that right at that point. And if you remember back 30 years, that's when the Berlin Wall went down, and that's when Russia, Soviet Union at that time, was opening up. I think this expedition was only possible during that two-year period. And we really hit the sweet spot, where all the countries were able to cooperate, Soviet Union. And then afterwards, a year after, 91 and 92, things started closing down again. But we were able to succeed in our mission, which was very, very important. Back in 1990, we were starting to see the signal from climate. We had science, but we needed more science information, especially in Antarctica, for our policy. And if the treaty would have went for the minerals clause, then most of the science would have been gone for the commercial side. So it was really important for a baseline for climate that we establish that and get the science that we do have right now, which is very important.
What did we get? Well, talk about the science that came out of your expedition.
Yeah, the science. Well, we did a baseline traverse. I think more than anything, we drew attention, and through our expedition, China committed to a huge scientific effort, and their science now is much larger than the National Science Foundation now in Antarctica. But we got a lot of the data.
China's science is bigger than NSF?
NSF now, yeah. And our teammate, Qin Dahu, won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2008 for his work. And, China really decided that they were going to commit to the science.
Well, you know, skepticism is wired into all of us, and some people take longer than others to acknowledge the science and the data and the trends. What do you tell to people who come up to you and are still skeptical, or maybe say, you know, maybe it's a natural cycle, and let's not panic and let's not upset our economic engine? How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I normally don't debate too much. I maybe agree to disagree, but I would approach it, first of all, the science is 95% in. I mean, it's almost as strong as gravity right now that we know that the influence of humankind, our particularly fossil fuels, are warming up the atmosphere through CO2, and this is causing all sorts of other problems. But I've been an eyewitness to the major changes, first in the polar areas, and now within the last 5 years, we're starting to see these changes all around the globe, here in Minnesota, all the weird weather we get. And not all weather is short term, but if you look at the longer range and the consistency of these extremes, these are definitely a fingerprint or a footprint, to say, of the changing climate. And what's alarming now is the sea level is starting to rise, and that's from definitely the melting of Greenland and now Antarctica. So we're seeing this, and it's getting worse and worse. So and we do have the solutions. I mean, at hand, we rapidly have to get away from fossil fuels with cleaner energy, and that cleaner energy, especially for Minnesota here, is great for our economy. I mean, we've created tens of thousands of jobs.
We have 60,000 clean energy jobs in Minnesota, yeah. More than med tech.
Right, and that went from zero 10 years ago. I mean, maybe 100, 150 jobs. And I approached it economically by creating jobs, which I think everybody can agree on the jobs. And with the jobs, you know, clean energy, then we just take down the carbon dioxide from there.
For those of you just tuning in, we're speaking with Will Steger. Will joins the likes of Amelia Earhart and Jacques Cousteau. I hope I'm not embarrassing you. As one of
that's pretty heady company.
Greatest explorers the world has seen. And, of course, this is the 30th anniversary of his expedition across the Antarctic. And he was telling us some of the things that he has learned along the way, why they did it. Will, I know it's been a well-documented exploration, but is there anything that we don't know, any stories from the trip that you haven't shared?
You know, we got along pretty well.
How many were you again?
Yeah, six of us.
Six.
International team.
No one wanted to eat each other when things
And you
really
all
rough.
Spoke English?
We all spoke to a degree. I think that's one of our strengths, because if we were all the same culture, for sure, I don't think we'd be the best of friends right now. But with the inability of taking an argument up to the higher level of your thought process is not possible when your language is limited. But then we did commit ourselves to cooperating. Our average age was 40 years old. We were mature. We were set in our careers and what we were doing. There was no competition between the team members, which does happen on some expeditions. And we're the best friends, being the best friends ever. So we were very successful. Not all expeditions end that happily. But this one did have a very happy ending and a re-reflected. We see each other every once in a while, but every 10 years we get together, and it's like we're a family. And it's,
do you go to the beach? Do you go to maybe Jamaica or something? Just say,
that would be fun.
Cold weather, let's go to the beach.
We certainly would enjoy that too, but... And our 10 days in Japan, it was actually a work tour. We were on tour for 10 days, and they had every minute of our day scheduled. But you know, I wasn't in charge of organizing it, so it was pretty easy.
Do you ever look back and think, wow, if we just had those North Face jackets? Or, I mean, the technology, I think, has come probably such a long way from 30 years ago when you did this expedition. Yep. Would it have been a different expedition?
It might not have, but we did have technology 30 years ago. If you looked it back to the 60s, much different than that. Mm-hmm. So we did benefit from Gore-Tex and some of the synthetic insulations on that expedition. And now you still have the waterproof breathables like Gore-Tex, and the insulation is still pretty good. But
I bet you would have killed for a Starbucks down there.
I don't know.
There are no Starbucks.
I don't know. That was 1990. Starbucks was just coming about.
Okay.
I should have invested in Starbucks.
That would have freaked me out.
Is there one down there now?
Come around the glacier. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Starbucks.
Yeah. All right. Stick around. When we come back, we want to talk solutions. There's a lot of gloom and doom, some of it warranted. I think some of it maybe a little bit overhyped. But I want to talk to you about solutions, and especially what young people can do to be part of the solution. That's coming up with Will Steger next.
Paul and Jordana.
Oh, nice. Nice choice, DJ. Okay. Well done.
I bet it was cold as ice.
Paul and Jordana and Dave and Will Steger, who is one of six who went on the Transantarctic Expedition, March of 90. We're coming up on the 30-year anniversary. That was the first dog sled traverse of Antarctica. 42 sled dogs, 3,741 miles in 7 months. Dog power. Got down to 54 below. And conducting amazing science along the way. Will Steger, it is great to have you on the air here at CCO. And I know in the summer you're up in Ely.
Yes.
And you have an amazing facility.
Yep. Yeah, the Steger Wilderness Center.
That is incredible. And I would encourage everybody to check that out. In the winter, you're in a houseboat.
Yeah, I have a houseboat in the Mississippi, downtown St. Paul, right across from the Science Museum.
And yes, he said in the winter.
In the winter, yeah. Yes. Freezes in. And I'm down here usually 6-7 months out of the year working on climate with climate generation. So I live on board. I've lived down there for about 13-14 years now.
So you're like a snowbird,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, so reverse.
You just come. Yeah. South, yeah, maybe 200 miles.
I call this the banana belt.
The banana belt. Stuff's growing here that isn't growing in Ely.
It's pretty warm down here.
So
tell us about climate generation. Yeah. You said you're working on that.
Climate generation. Well, I formed climate generation 13-14 years ago out of my concerns for the collapse of the Larsen A and B ice shelf. And I came down and formed the organization. Today we have an organization of 14 staff, full-time staff. We work in K-12 education and youth organizing. We do a lot of public convenings, lectures and presentations and so forth around the state. So we're active in the solutions of climate change. I also work a lot in the policy, kind of behind the scenes on climate and energy policy for the state. So I've done that the last 14 years. But you and I were early on the climate. You were one of the first to kind of start talking about it.
I started seeing it in the weather and talking about it out loud, much to my chagrin some days.
Yep.
But you have also observed this. I mean, it's one thing to be looking at the peer-reviewed research, which is formidable. You've actually seen with your eyes some of the changes in nature.
It's been incredible the last 15 years. You can no longer reach the Arctic, the North Pole from land. It's 60% of the Arctic Ocean is water in the summertime. It took us a month to cross the Larsen A, B, and C ice shelves 30 years ago. The A and B are disintegrated. C is now disintegrating. That's all gone. I mean, that's 300 miles worth of ice that we traveled on, 1,000 feet thick, floating on the ocean. That's gone. Every first that I've done in the polar regions is no longer possible to even do the route. And so we knew that the scientists predicted that the changes would be first seen in the north because with the melting of the ice in the earlier springs, they got hit warmer there faster. And then now we're starting to see the changes here. So I came down with that message, my eyewitness to climate change, back there 14 years ago, because the science is confusing to people, and especially with the media, it's confusing. But when you're really seeing facts happening, or you come back with the presentations and the pictures and everything to show what you've seen in the last decade or so, it's pretty powerful.
I've seen your PowerPoint deck. I've seen your presentation. It's very compelling, some of the before and after pictures. I'm talking to some churches up in Grand Rapids tomorrow, trying to frame this as a spiritual challenge and a stewardship challenge. But my question to you before we go, Will, last question, when people come up and say, what can I do? I feel helpless. I feel hopeless. I'm depressed. My kids are depressed. Mm-hmm. What do you tell them?
Well, I would first, band together with friends, and because like in Antarctica, we felt that if we were to face what we did alone or just with two people, we wouldn't even have survived. But the six of us were strong. We swung together. So I would suggest first, just working with people that are working together on the climate change. But there are solutions and way of slowing this down. Clean energy. We have the technology for that. We're going to have to adapt to some. It's not exactly the end of the world. We do have some time, but we really politically have to get on board with the climate here. There's and for the future and for the sake of our young people, we have to act right now. So it's the politics that are separating us in the United States. It's not that way the rest of the world. Like I was in Japan, I mentioned last week, and the whole country, there's no question about climate change there. And that's true for the rest of the world, but we're kind of isolated that way here.
And you it's Climate Generation, and there's an event to benefit Climate Generation this Saturday at O'Shaughnessy at St. Kate's in St. Paul. And you've got quite a lineup of artists and a night of music storytelling and collective climate action at O'Shaughnessy this weekend, yeah. Saturday night.
This is a very, very positive event. It's a fundraiser. It doesn't cost much to get in. But we have about 12 local bands playing, and all the bands are talking about climate. And it's this type of energy is what you need to immerse yourself in.
Will Steger, any big expeditions coming up?
Well, I do an expedition each spring. This coming spring, I'll be gone for about 6 weeks up way in the high Arctic at breakup time. So I keep my finger on the pulse still.
I'm heading up to the Starbucks in Bemidji you'd like to join
like
me
to
for
join
that expedition.
There. I'd like to join you in some presentations again, by the way.
Absolutely.
In the congregations, I'd be glad to do that.
That was a good time. Yep. Will, thank you for your outreach. Thank you for being positive, and it was great having you here.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Thanks.
Wish you the best.
Thank you, Will. We appreciate you being here.
Paul and Jordana.